What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed, it is time for us to take our Wednesday morning look. Yes, our midweek look, some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The second liquidation court of criminal cases, headed by Baloisa Martinez, issued the arrest warrant for the five convicted in the new business case: Ricardo Martinelli, Daniel Ochi, Janeth Vasquez, Ivana Rocha, and Valentin Martinez Vasquez. Through official letter number 301 of Monday, the 4th of February of this year, Judge Martinez notified Commissioner Sergio Delgado of the Judicial Investigation Directorate, the DIJ, to intervene his good offices in order to capture Ricardo Alberto Martinelli Berrocal and transfer him to the penitentiary system. He was already convicted of money laundering in the new business case. Martinelli's sentence is 128 months in prison, and he must also pay a fine of $19.2 million as an accessory penalty. The judge, in official letter number 301, recalls that Martinelli must pay the fine to the National Treasury within a period of 12 months. Meanwhile, Ochi was sentenced to 96 months in prison, Martinez to 80 months, Arrocha 70 months, and Vasquez to 60 months. Another 10 defendants were acquitted, a decision that was appealed at the time by prosecutor Elmeldo Martinez. Last Monday, the 4th of March, the conviction handed down on the 17th of July of last year, 2023, by Judge Martinez became final. The court communicated the decision to the Tribunal Electoral, and at 10:39 p.m. on that day, the Tribunal Electoral magistrates informed the country that Martinelli was disqualified from participating in the electoral contest as the 5th of May elections as a presidential candidate for the Realizing Goals and the Alianza parties. He too cannot be a candidate for deputy of the National Assembly in the 8-4 circuit. Now, the Tribunal Electoral's decision complies with the provisions of Article 180 of the Constitution, which prohibits a person sentenced to 5 years in prison or more from being elected president or vice president of the Republic. Thus, on the presidential ballot for the election of the 5th of May in the box of the RM and Alianza parties, there will be José Raúl Molino as president without vice president. Meanwhile, Martinelli's candidacy in the 8-4 will now be assumed by his lawyer, Alejandro Pérez, who was his substitute. Martinelli has been in the Nicaraguan embassy since the 7th of February, claiming to be political persecuted and claiming asylum. Does the designation of José Raúl Molino as presidential candidate of the Realizing Goals and the Alianza parties, replacing Ricardo Martinelli, violate the Constitution and the Electoral Code? If Molino was not chosen in a primary, can he be on the presidential ballot next 5th of May? Is the Vice President of the Republic a substitute for the President, or is this a position with its own powers? What were the consequences of leaving RM and Alianza without participation in the presidential election? All these aspects were debated for 10 hours by Alfredo Junca, Eduardo Valdez Escofri, and Luis Herrera Morales, the three judges of the Tribunal Electoral, before communicating the disqualification of Martinelli and the recognition of Molino as a presidential candidate. This analysis is recorded in plenary agreement 11-1 of the 4th of March, 5 pages long. Junca, Valdez, and Guerrero were clear that with the conviction of the new business now being final, Martinelli's disqualification was appropriate because it was what was dictated by Article 180 of the Constitution, which prohibits a person sentenced to 5 years or more in prison for intentional crime being chosen as President or the Vice President of the Republic. Now, Agreement 11-1 highlights that this impediment is immediate and for life. The next thing that had to be decided was what to do with Molino. And for that, two theses were proposed. The first, that the figure of the alternate is not applicable to be vice president. And the second is that does it apply to all positions of popular choice? Well, in defense of the first thesis, the magistrates record that the vice president of the republic already has his own powers in the constitution, which he exercises in parallel with the president. Therefore, he is not a substitute, and Article 362 of the Electoral Code cannot be applied to him, which says the following: if a citizen declared suitable as a candidate loses the status of candidate, his substitute will take place of the main candidate. If the person who dies or resigns is the substitute candidate, the main candidate will appear without a substitute on the ballot. Well, then Juncker, Valdez and Guerrero begin to consider the aspects of the second thesis, and the consequences of not recognising Molina as Martinelli's substitute. RM and Alianza then are left without a presidential payroll. Applications to Parlasen from both parties are disqualified, since these depend on the presidential vote. The amount corresponding to RM and Alianza in a distribution of post-electoral public financing is reduced, and the possibility of subsidence of the two groups is affected by lacking the presidential codes. Well, they also maintain that international human rights conventions require Panama to make a broad interpretation of the law to guarantee the rights of all those involved. In this way, the three magistrates agreed that Molina appears on the presidential ballot in the RM and Alianza box. They decided the same regarding the candidacy for deputy in the 8-4 circuit. The main candidate will be the until now substitute Alejandro Perez Saldana. An appeal for reconsideration is possible against Agreement 11-1 within the next 2 days, counted from the time of notification. The days of Deputy Yanabel Abrego in the Democratic Change Party, CD Party, well, they're numbered. The Electoral Court confirmed the sentence issued by the Court of Honour and Discipline of the CD, that was in June the 2nd of last year, that expelled her from that political group. Consequently, the Tribunal Electoral Magistrates revoked Resolution 55-J3AE-2023 of October the 16th of last year, signed by Judge Elvira Maria Rengifo of the 3rd Administrative Electoral Court, which annulled the expulsion. Well, this is stated in a Tribunal Electoral opinion signed by judges Alfredo Juncker and Eduardo Valdez Escoffery, who acted as rapporteur. In June of 2023, the Court of Honour and Discipline of the CD accepted and declared proven the facts of the complaint presented by Rafael Ponce González, who denounced Abrego for alleged non-compliance with the CD statute by publicly supporting and promoting the electoral offer from another party. Yep. Realising Goals, the political collective founded by Ricardo Martinelli. Ricardo Alberto and Luis Enrique Martinelli Linares, Alma Cortez, Alex Lee, Jaime Ford Castro and Bernardo Nando Meneses, they're some of the politicians who could be left without electoral criminal jurisdiction, since different administrative electoral courts are analysing removing that armour at the request of authorities. The judicial authorities. In total, the Tribunal Electoral processes 22 requests to lift electoral criminal jurisdiction that affects 17 people, according to a report from the institution. However, the Tribunal Electoral document does not detail the reason for the different requests or who are the authorities that process them. So, let's take a look. What is the electoral criminal jurisdiction? In accordance with Article 305 of the Electoral Code, electoral criminal jurisdiction is the right that the presidents, vice presidents, secretaries, general undersecretaries of the legally constituted parties, candidates, electoral delegates, electoral entities of political parties, members of electoral corporations, electoral officials and liaisons to not be investigated, detained, arrested or prosecuted in criminal, police or administrative matters, provided that the latter involve the imposition of a prison sentence without express and prior authorization from the electoral administrative courts, except in cases of flagrante delicto. The balance that is owed by consumers to banks, adding mortgages, credit cards, car loans, personal loans and other financing, increased in January of 2024. That was by 4.13% to exceed $34,918 million, compared to the balance of 1,531 million recorded in the same month of 2023, according to the credit history of the APC Experian Credit Bureau. Now, although mortgages represent the greatest weight of the balance of commitments within the banks, this is with 58.85%, the level of delinquency or delay of these payments is below the average, with 4.21% of commitments that have more than 61 days without payment. In total, the balance of mortgage loans owed to banks at the end of January was 20,540 million, an interannual growth of 4.48%, more than in the same month of 2023. At the end of January, there were 332,815 mortgage loans in force, with an average balance for a loan of $61,717. The highest delinquency is recorded in credit cards, with 11.96% of commitments that have delays in payments for more than 2 months. And if charged off accounts are considered, this delinquency grows to 15.7%, according to the monthly report from APC Experian. The total balance of credit card debt skyrocketed in January by 5.76%, going from $2,447 million, that was January of 2023, to $2,588 million, beginning of 2024. Now, many people are financing even the purchase of basic products on credit. This is the default that worries us the most. We have 738,519 bank credit cards in circulation with an average balance of $3,504 per card. Now, before the pandemic in January of 2019, we had more bank credit cards in circulation, 752,704 cards with an average balance of $3,107, indicated Giovanna Caraliccio, General Manager of APC Experian. Well, the International Monetary Fund, well, they've come up with recommendations. That's that Panama reduce the fiscal deficit, improve revenues and increase various taxes, such as the transfer tax on movable property and services, which we know as the ITBMS, which currently has a rate of 7%. In addition, it suggests considering raising the tax rate on tobacco and fuel. The ITBMS on cigarettes is currently 32.5% of the sales price, while a tax of 60 cents is imposed for each gallon of gasoline, and in the case of diesel, 25 cents per gallon. Another of the IMF's proposals is that Panama begin to apply the global minimum tax of 15% to multinational companies and groups that operate in the country. I'm sure we're very grateful for those suggestions. All right, that's it again. That brings us to the end of some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you on this morning's programme.